scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get it going. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, February 19th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, as we are going through the lead up to the resumption of the schedule for the Flames. Calgary doesn't play again until Sunday. So a number of weeks ago, first of all, hi, Wes Gilbertson.
Hey, buddy.
A couple of weeks ago, Wes says, hey, that week when we're back on after the 1 week break that we take, that week that we're back on, what about the idea of going after some of Calgary's top prospects and checking in on a few of the top prospects around the league? And seems like that's a pretty good idea, and I think there's a pretty good who we're about to talk to is a pretty good way to start things off in that regard. Hey,
yeah, absolutely. And then we've talked lots about this young man and the fact that it feels like every time you check the stats page there's two or three more points. I know the excitement has not been lost on folks in this city and this fan base, and so this will be a fun one.
Yeah, so we're going to kick off the hour by saying hello to Flames prospect defenseman Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Now up to 80 points in 49 games so far this season. He leads the Ontario League in defensemen in scoring. Zane joins us right now. Zane, it's Pat and Wes. How are we doing today?
Hey guys, how you guys doing? I'm doing well,
and good to have you. Good to have you on board. Thanks for taking some time. As you're well into the stretch drive this season now, my friend. Just how are things feeling in Saginaw right now?
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy month or so. So, you know, trying to find rest any chance you get. But you know, we're starting to win games, so hopefully we can do something special down the stretch here.
I know that the last time we spoke to you on this show and Wes probably spoke to you around the same time was when you went to World Junior Selection Camp and we spoke to you from there and you talked about how maybe somewhat of a slow start to your regular season upon going back to Saginaw, but how are you feeling individually about your game right now?
Yeah, really happy. I think, you know, Ray's pretty happy with how things are trending too. So, you know, I'm pretty content where I'm at. Obviously, I want to get better and continue to work on things in my game. But, you know, I'm really happy with where I'm at.
You know, now that you are kind of feeling really good about your game and feeling good about where things have gone, how do you look back on that first month or so of the season where, you know, admittedly you've said it wasn't the way you wanted to start the season? How do you look back on that now that you've gotten things on track and where you want them to be?
Yeah, no, it's funny looking back. You know, I started slow, but I think I also got a little unlucky with how things went. Like, you know, I thought I played pretty well in those games. It just things kind of weren't going my way. The bounces weren't kind of coming. And, you know, when that kind of happens, you kind of get a little frustrated there. And, you know, that's what kind of happened. But, you know, I'm wondering where I'd be at if I didn't start slow in terms of point production. But I guess we'll never know.
Key to that, just kind of sticking with it when especially when you know that you're playing pretty good. Is it pretty easy to stick with it in a situation like that?
No, it's honestly not. Like, I feel like it was like it's kind of just staying patient and then doing that, but it's not easy to do that when things aren't going well and you know, things haven't worked the way you wanted it to over probably about a 15 game stretch there. So you know, the people around me were telling me to kind of just stay patient and, you know, eventually, you know, not that scoring is all that matters, but, you know, it's going to come in bunches and, that's what ended up happening there.
So what allowed you, if it definitely wasn't easy, as you say, what allowed you to stick with it during that stretch?
I got a really good support staff, and Matt Brown helps me a lot, and Ray, and then obviously I work with Sergei Samsonov, and my family and my agency. It's easy to fall back on those people, and when Sergei and Ray are telling me that I'm doing a good job, it's pretty easy to believe them because they're such knowledgeable people, and but I got a really good support staff around me, and it's kind of easy to fall back on them and talk to them whenever I need to.
We're chatting with Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit, ninth overall selection of the Flames at the 2024 NHL Draft. He's joining us to kick off this hour on Flames Talk on a Wednesday, Wes.
Zane, you've mentioned Ray Edwards a few times already, the director of player development for the Flames. I'm wondering, can you just, I guess, peel back the curtain a little bit for those who are listening and maybe don't know how the relationship and back and forth between a prospect like yourself and the organization through their development arm works? Can you just tell us a little bit about sort of how often you're in contact with Ray and what sort of feedback you're getting?
Yeah, so he's my main guy that I talk to, and usually chat with him once and twice a week, and I'll hop on a Zoom call once a month or once every other month just to look over things. But there it's kind of just he checks up on me every week, make sure I'm doing well. But the prospects don't really talk to Craig too much, but I exchanged a couple texts back and forth with him throughout the season, a couple big things happened in the year for me there, but me and Ray are pretty tight now, and he's a really easy guy to talk to.
How would you sort of summarize the focal points with Ray? I know, there's lots of excitement about the offensive numbers. I know you take great pride in that. And I also know when you get on those Zoom calls with Ray, that's not necessarily, the first thing he brings up. So how would you sort of sum up the focal points in what you're working with him?
Yeah, no, I haven't watched a single clip offensively about anything with him. I think, organization-wise, they kind of let me do my thing and trust my reads offensively with the puck. And, I think they know I'm going to learn on the fly and with that sort of thing. But it's just this little things away from the puck that's, going to put me in the NHL hopefully next year. And, if I could get really good at that, I'll be hopefully a pretty good player for the organization. But kind of just refining those details and working on those habits is really important to me.
I was chatting with Ray. It won't surprise you to hear that we love to chat with him too, because he's such a great resource. He's so passionate about the prospects in the Flames organization. But he was telling me, I want to say it was maybe a game against Brantford. It wasn't sort of an offensive showcase. You think you maybe had one point, and he told me afterwards, he told you that might be the best game or one of the best games I've seen you play. How's the sort of mindset shifted for you? I know you take a ton of pride in the offensive numbers, but has there been a little bit of a mental shift in terms of being able to be really proud of some of those games where it's not always the stuff you see on the score sheet?
Yeah, no, I was really happy with that game. I remember seeing him after the game, and we chatted, and I kind of told him how, there wasn't much flow to the game, but, I was really happy with the way I defended and the way I killed plays. And, honestly, that night I felt better about the game than I did when, I've had multi-point games or three or four point games there. So the mindset switch has been real for me, and I'm starting to notice it a lot more in the last few months here where, if I have maybe two goals or something, but I didn't get as many kills I want in terms of my gaps or something like that, I wasn't, as thrilled with the game. But, if I was moving my feet and killing plays and just trying to pick up details defensively, I was pretty happy with myself.
And if you told yourself a couple of years ago that you'd sort of be thinking that way, would you have expected it?
Probably not.
No, okay.
I'll be honest. No, for sure. I mean, didn't know if I'd be in a spot like this a couple of years ago. So on the defensive side of things, in my rookie year, I remember the only times I thought I was playing well is when I was scoring. So it's been a different mindset change for me lately.
Speaking of mindset, we're chatting with Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit and Flames prospect. One of the things that you said that I really picked up on a couple minutes ago, you said hopefully be in the NHL next year. And I know you got a playoff push and you got to lock down a playoff spot and then the Ontario League playoffs in Saginaw. I know that's the number one thing on your mind. But would there be any doubt in your mindset that you come into training camp next September and you feel like the only option is to make the NHL roster? I'm just curious, kind of like that mindset after you've been to one NHL camp now.
Yeah, I think that has to be the mindset. I mean, if I go in there doubting myself or believing I'm not good enough to be there, then, I'm probably already lost it from the start. So if I'm coming in with the mindset of making the team and that there's no other option there and it's a life or death situation, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Did you have the same mindset this past NHL training camp, or because it was the first one, you kind of didn't know what to expect in that regard?
No, I was so lost out there. I was like a lost puppy, I felt like. I think that's the best way to put it there. But it was a great experience. I got to learn from a bunch of people there, and people just treated you so well. So especially the older guys that, have been in the league for a really long time, the way they treated me, it showed a lot about their character.
I'm sure this has been reinforced to you, but you're not the first 18-year-old to leave an NHL camp feeling like a bit of a lost puppy. It's pretty overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit much. It's good, though, that happened to me, and I'll know what, is coming when I'm heading into my next camp.
I remember the day that you found out and you came and spoke with us, and I know there was a really disappointing day, but now that there's a number of months on, you can look back and say that you were kind of lost, and it was a real big learning curve for you. How do you look back now on that first training camp experience in terms of just how it made you a better hockey player and just a better person, better all-round guy?
Well, I think from a leadership point, I think I learned a lot. You see the way those guys command, the people in the room, and especially the more veteran players there, the way they lead and the way they go about their business. It's easy to learn a lot from them there. And, I hear you talk about that interview where, I just got told I was getting sent back. And, I remember being obviously distraught, but I think it was the best thing for me. And, I'd go on there and finally understanding what kind of it's like to be a pro. And now I know what to expect coming into my next camp.
Yeah. You've got your team, you're focused on the Spirit, but you've got another Flames pick, another Flames defensive prospect in Henry Muse, now in Sudbury, who's kind of right behind you on that OHL defenseman scoring list. How much are you having fun kind of tracking that and seeing a future teammate in the NHL potentially having a heck of a year too?
Yeah, he was ahead of me for a while, so I was tripping him the other day. He was trying to fight me the whole game, and we were going back and forth. But he's a great kid. I love him to death. And I don't look at the scoring too much, but I know he's doing a really good job over there in Suds now. And he's having a really good year.
You've got Battaglia, you've got you've got Muse, you've got Misa. Like, there's a good chunk of Ontario League talent that is coming off of being drafted in June in Vegas. Do you when you see those guys and when you go through their town, do they come through Saginaw on the circuit? Like, is there a little bit of a bond there, knowing that you're all kind of going towards that one NHL goal?
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool when I see those guys. And I grew up with Bates, and obviously I've known Luke for a really long time, so. It makes it easy, especially when you go to a camp with those guys and you know them really well. It it keeps you comfortable when you're here kind of hanging out with them. But, you know, it's really exciting that we're doing this together, and three guys there that are kind of lighting up the league. So gets you really excited.
I do have to ask you about one player that is going to obviously have a lot of headlines going into this year's draft. And, you know, you're a high pick, and looks like your teammate Michael Mesa is going to be a high pick as well. What can you tell us? What can you tell us about your high scoring teammate?
Yeah, you know, I think he deserves to be the first overall pick. And, you know, obviously all the criticism he's dealt with over the past 3 years and all the pressure he's dealt with, it's not fair to him. But, you know, the way he goes about it and the way he handles it, it's he's a really mature kid and beyond his time for sure. And just an unreal player he is, and the way he commands the game with the puck and without it, it's pretty fun to watch.
Zane, I got two more quick ones before we wrap this up, and we really appreciate your time, so thank you so much. I know it's not about offense. I know the focus has been on, as you detailed, killing plays and your own end and all that stuff, and yet with 14 games to go at 80 points, how much is triple digits on your radar? What would a 100-point season in the OHL mean to you?
Well, I mean, it would be pretty special. I mean, as selfish as it sounds, it's something that was on my mind last year, and you know, not so much this year where I haven't really thought about it, but last year I really kind of wanted to hit that 100-point mark, and you know, I think this year I'm just naturally letting it come and not forcing anything. But you know, if it does end up happening, I think it'll be pretty cool. But you know, we got a good team down here in Saginaw, so I'm looking forward to what kind of run we can go on.
Last one, I know you have a game of your own tomorrow, but for an Ontario raised kid playing in Michigan, what has the Four Nations face-off banter been like?
No, well, a lot of the guys on my team are Canadian. We got two or three U.S. guys, so we're always going back and forth there. But you know, I'm really excited for the game tomorrow. Might miss the first period, but our coach said we could put the game on the iPads on the bench if we're having a really good night. So, you know, you might see me pulling the iPad in and trying to sneak the game in there. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, hopefully Canada comes in and dominates.
Yeah, it's good incentive. Get out to an early lead, then you can be watching on the iPads, right?
Yeah, pack it in and get it on the iPad.
Hey, Zane, really appreciate the time. And thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in the playoff push. Good luck in the Ontario League playoffs. And we'll be paying attention back here. Thanks for doing this today. Hey.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
No problem. That is Zane Parekh of the Saginaw Spirit, ninth overall selection of the Flames at the 2024 NHL Draft, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you this hour on Flames Talk. Well underway. And a good way to kick it off. And that's your quintessential Zane Parekh interview. You're always going to get charisma.
Yeah.
You're always going to get a good conversation. You're always going to get a really honest assessment, good and bad, in terms of where he thinks his game is and how things are going. And there's a guy who is very, very much dialed in on being an NHLer as a 19-year-old next season.
Yeah, absolutely. As a just-turned 19-year-old, I think last week, like this is one of the most exciting prospects the Flames have had in a long time. And, you know, I know, and you've had similar conversations, I'm sure. You talk to anyone in the Flames organization, like that mindset shift, that real focus on almost the points being bonus right now is real. Like there is a massive amount of buy-in from Zane Parekh on the things that are going to help him get to that next level. You hear all the time about him watching clips of Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes. And, you know, I think we expect that those clips he's watching are, you know, saucer passes and how to quarterback a power play. But it's actually, you know, one of the focuses with him has been how to kill plays and get moving the other direction. Like, watch those guys shut down plays and turn it into offense. Like, everything has that sort of defense first skew. And if he is as successful at it as he's shown so far, you know, if he can eventually transition that to the next level, this is going to be a heck of a hockey player for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, always good to catch up with Zane. Right now, Saginaw is the number four team in the OHL's Western Conference. So they're sitting just outside of that top three, but they're close to clinching a playoff spot, and they will try to defend their OHL championship and Memorial Cup when they hit the playoffs. They're about like 15, 16 games away from being in postseason action. So getting pretty close to stretch drive time in the Ontario Hockey League. On the NHL side of things, some interesting movement from the Flames on Wednesday. So they returned to practice Tuesday afternoon, back at Winsport Wednesday morning with two new faces on the ice. Yan Kuznetsov and Ilya Solovyov recalled from the Wranglers. They practiced, and they practiced on a pairing together. And the big reason there, Ryan Huska talked a little bit about it after practice and, you know, checking in a couple of other spots as well. A big reason for that is want to see what these guys can do, get them a couple of opportunities. Wranglers don't play again until the weekend, so an opportunity to get these guys some time and get these guys practicing because they'd like to see what they're all about. But the other interesting thing here, and I do think that it is something that bears watching, is no Tyson Barry on the ice at practice either. So we'll see how it plays itself out, but I don't think that there's coincidence there. And I do wonder what's next now for Barry. Is Ryan Huska said they gave him the day, and it feels like there's something going on when it comes to Barry. It feels like there's a looming or pending decision on either the Flames side or Barry's side or both right now. Look, we know Tyson Barry has not played a lot this year, and you just wonder now that the stretch drive is beginning. We saw Solovyov jump in that game against Seattle and look really good and look to be one of their, like, a guy that could very easily hold his own in an NHL top six. It makes you wonder what's next. Like, do we see a Tyson Barry on waivers on Thursday afternoon? Do we see him potentially on waivers to go to the American League? Do we see him potentially on waivers for contract termination? Like, you wonder now, or maybe we see him back on the ice,
yeah,
practicing with the team again. You wonder. It does feel like maybe there's another shoe to drop when it comes to this Flames blue line here.
Yeah, here's a couple of things that we know from hanging around the rink as long as we have. You know, NHLers don't just get told to take a day off very often. And specifically NHLers who have played 13 of 55 games and are coming off a week-long vacation, you don't get told, you know what, Tyson, just, hey, take a day, right? Like, I understand why Ryan Huska said that today, because, you know, he's trying to, I suppose he's trying to put off revealing whatever that next shoe to drop is, but this is not how, you know, it normally unfolds, in the sense of you don't get a day off as the spare defenseman, and so the Flames would understand this, that opens the door to the speculation that is happening. You know, if Tyson Barry is indeed on the waiver wire tomorrow, whether that's for the purpose of a buyout or, you know, contract termination, whether that's to go to the minors. The fact of the matter is, it hasn't worked out the way anyone wanted with Tyson Barry. You know, he hasn't had the impact when he's been in the lineup that the Flames were hoping. He hasn't been in the lineup as often as he was hoping. You know, it hasn't been the fit that either side, I think, nope, was hoping for. And what sort of changes the discussion is that Ilya Solovyov, in his season debut right before the break, made a pretty clear statement that he deserves another opportunity. You know, he played nearly 20 minutes against the Seattle Kraken in a top four role and performed really well, earned quite high praise from his coach after. It wasn't blemish free. You know, he did have a a little bit of a botched clearing attempt that contributed to one of the goals against, but he earned another opportunity. And so now with Kevin Ball back, with Rasmus Anderson, sorry, with Kevin Ball coming back from injury, with Rasmus Anderson on his way back from the Four Nations faceoff, whether you're keeping both Solovyov and Kuznetsov up, whether it's maybe just Solovyov ultimately, there's a shoe that has to drop here, and I don't think we're wrong to speculate that that's going to be Tyson Barrie.
No, and I mean, I don't think we're wrong at all. In fact, I think that there's probably something coming, and I think there's probably... Wouldn't be a surprise if there's some contemplation time going on the Barrie side of things.
I was just going
to
say, can I tell
you? Does he want to be...
Right.
Does he want to go to the American League? Is going the waiver route and potentially playing AHL hockey at this stage in his career, is that something he's open to doing if the Flames are looking at doing that? And I would imagine with the amount of games he's played in this league and the status that he has in seemingly every room he's in, I would imagine that if they were to do that, they'd say, hey, like, is this something...
Mm-hmm.
We don't see us going forward together at the NHL level, potentially. Would you be okay going to the Wranglers and playing some games down there?
You know what it actually reminds me of? And maybe I'm way off on this. This is a long time ago, but it reminds me of Craig Conroy being told at the end of... turned out to be the end of Craig's career, and please don't take this as me saying it's the end of Tyson's, but Craig had a decision to make. He could either go on waivers and go down to the minors, or ultimately for him, the other option was to accept a front office job with the Flames, which is what he wound up doing. I think Tyson is certainly going to continue playing, whether that's with the Wranglers, whether it's ultimately elsewhere, but it does remind me, and we didn't know what was happening at the time, but Craig Conroy has since, you know, over the years told us, I was kind of given a couple days to decide what I wanted to be the next step. And that's sort of what I'm thinking of today. That it does have a similar feel. Tyson Barrie is not going to become a special assistant to the GM tomorrow or the next day, but I think we're going to get more news. At least my spidey senses tell me there's more coming as it pertains to the future of Tyson Barrie.
I agree. It feels like, and honestly, like I wonder a little bit about if you've got a guy who is contemplating with his family, like, okay, if the AHL isn't the road and there's no trade right now and nobody's going to claim me on waivers, perhaps, like, what is the next best road? It might be a situation as simple as, look what happened with Brandon Saad. There was a very similar situation where they decided to terminate the contract. It was mutually agreed upon, and maybe Barrie looks to go and see if there's an opportunity elsewhere. That wouldn't be a surprise either. So it feels like, there is another shoe to drop here. It feels like there is news coming on the Tyson Barrie front, and whether that's Thursday at noon, whether that's Friday at noon, it just does feel like we're not reading too much into things here, I don't believe, when it comes to, you know, the future being somewhat murky when it comes to Barrie at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, day off right after a break, two defensemen up from the minors, the simple math of a guy who's played 13 of 55 games so far this season. I don't think we're jumping to conclusions here at all.
And honestly, I feel bad for the guy. Like, this would be...
Yeah.
This, again, like, he was in a situation where went PTO road for the first time in his career at training camp, and is now again in somewhat of a career crossroads spot. Like, these are not easy spots to be in. So I feel for the guy on top of that.
And I do want to clarify, I don't think this would have been taken the wrong way, but when I said it hasn't gone the way anyone expected, I'll tell you the one thing that has gone the way it was anticipated in Calgary. He's been a really good piece for the locker room. Like, teammates absolutely love him. They rave about him.
He practices his tail off. Even always when, those bag skates.
Even when he went to the Wranglers on a two-game conditioning stint, some of the conversations that he wound up having in that short spell with some of the young guys were very impactful. Like, that part has worked out. But, you know, Tyson Barrie told me a few weeks ago, he'd still like to get a silver stick. He still wants to play playoff games in the NHL. And, you know, there's days, and he'll be the first to admit it, that those goals seem maybe a little more far-fetched than others, but, you know, I'm sure that's what he's after. It hasn't worked, right? And ultimately, I expect that if given the option, he'd like to pursue an opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah.
I just don't know what that opportunity might look like.
I don't think we know what the timeline looks like exactly in terms of when we might get an answer on that.
Good point.
Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you. This hour of Flames Talk underway. Hey, can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Wednesday edition of the program with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. And the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us now to complete our Wednesday Roundtable. And Willsy, Wes and I just had a short conversation about kind of the uncertainty of what comes next when it comes to Tyson Barrie, who was not on the ice at practice Wednesday at Winsport. And it does feel like there is some sort of a decision coming, whether it is waivers or something else. It feels like there is another shoe to drop there. Plus, Yan Kuznetsov, Ilya Solovyov, both recalled, both practiced with the Flames at Winsport on Wednesday as well. Gents, with what we've seen, like there's now 27 games to go this year. We're approaching the final quarter of the season, and it's very clearly stretch drive time starting Sunday when the Flames get their schedule back underway. How actively would you be trying, whether we're talking Barrie or other avenues, how actively would we be trying to get a Solovyov and or a Kuznetsov on this roster as the Flames get going down the stretch?
Yeah, it's funny. So on my way to Winsport this morning, I saw the news on the recalls and texted you and Mick and said, why two? Didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time. I understood one because Anderson's not back from the Four Nations faceoff yet, but why two? And when we saw that Barrie wasn't on the ice at practice, that answered my question. But to answer your question, I'm not in a hurry. And I know that that is probably not the answer that some of our listeners want to hear, but it's just the truth for me. So when Rasmus Anderson comes back, he's going to be on the right side of a pairing with Kevin Ball. We know that Jake Bean and Braden Pahal are going to play at a pairing, the third pairing. And I guess my question would be, are you just trying to replace Joel Hanley on the left side of a pairing with Mackenzie Weegar? Because really, that for me is the only spot that is up for grabs. And, you know, I asked Weegar about Hanley today and, you know, about how valuable he's been to this team. And it's something we've talked a lot about in the last month or two, because Joel Hanley's gone from being the eight to the seven to one of the six. He's played on all three of the pairings. And I think he's been a real handy player for the Flames to have around. As Weegar said today, Hanley's been a jack of all trades or like a Swiss Army knife. So I guess my question for you guys would be, is it Hanley that you're trying to replace in the top six? Because I think the other two pairings are, if not written in pen, then certainly written in pencil for the time being.
Yeah, I think Joel Hanley is sort of the obvious candidate, the most likely candidate to be replaced in that top six. And, you know, I'll just repeat what I said on the last segment and what I've said several times since we saw Ilya Solovyov against the Seattle Kraken. I think he earned another opportunity to show what he can do in a top four type role. And I suppose the unfortunate reality for a guy like Joel Hanley at his age and his contract status is that you're probably, as a team that's looking to get younger, you're probably always looking to replace him. And even if replacing just means bumping him back to being the seventh, maybe it means, you know, recouping an asset, a guy that you claimed off waivers that you might look to trade since he's an expiring contract and depth defensemen are always on vogue in the lead up to the deadline. Whatever the reason, Ilya Solovyov at 24 can be part of the future of your blue line. He showed me in that Saturday game against Seattle that he's earned at least one more opportunity to show what he can do in a top four role. The way I sort of expect this guy's to play out is that Solovyov stays up, Kuznetsov gets a couple practices in with the big boys and is told, hey, you're close. We wanted to show you you're close, but you have to continue to bide your time. But for me, and again, I'll echo what Wilsey said. Like, Joel Hanley has been, I like the word you chose. He's been handy. You know, he's been a guy that you could really use as sort of a Band-Aid solution in different spots. But, you know, a team that's looking to get younger on the fly, a team that has believed ever since they traded Nikita Zadorov away, I think 15 months ago, that they have a guy who can do something similar in Solovyov, it's time to give him an extended run to show it. And if that means Hanley ends up sitting or ends up being traded away for a future asset, I'd be just fine with that.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, and with no disrespect to Joel Hanley at all, is that I think you're just, look, if the Flames are going to A, make the playoffs, and B, do anything once they're there, they're going to need to have some depth on the blue line. And I think that what we've seen, guys, is how thin that depth is with the 8 games that Kevin Ball missed. I mean, how ragtag has that blue line looked the last number of weeks without Kevin Ball? And so I think it's a little bit of a wake-up call that, you know, at this stage, Daniil Miramanov is not an everyday guy in your top four or your top six. And at this stage, right now, Tyson Barrie is not an everyday guy or probably won't be an everyday guy going forward at this level. And Joel Hanley has been serviceable. Bean and Pahal have made a really nice pairing. But do you have... It's not that you're going out and actively trying to replace Hanley guys. It's more that you're trying to see if you have an upgrade. Is Ilya Solovyov a better fit in your top six than Joel Hanley is? Or is there a case to be made that against certain opponents, Solovyov is a better fit than Hanley? And maybe in other circumstances, Hanley's a better fit than Solovyov. But either way, I think that at this point, we know what Tyson Barrie is. I think we know what Daniil Miramanov is right now, and continuing to force feed him into situations where he's not excelling, I don't think does your team any good. And I'm with Wes, Wilsey. What we saw from Solovyov, I thought he was their third or fourth best defenseman in that game against Seattle. And to me, if he's going to be, if that's one game, and I granted it's a small sample size, but if he can be the third or fourth best defenseman on this team on a regular-ish basis going forward, well, then you kind of almost have to keep him up. So Hanley's a great option. He's a great guy to keep with you. I'm not suggesting they get rid of Joel Hanley, but you need more depth on the blue line. You desperately need more depth that you are comfortable putting into NHL lineups and don't feel like you're just kind of throwing in a body that you're not comfortable with right now. And maybe Solovyov isn't that, but what we saw from him in that one game suggests maybe he could be that. And for that reason, I'm with Wes. I think probably Kuznetsov goes back and they find a way to keep Solovyov up, and I would be going out of my way to do that at this point.
Well, I'm just going to hang out on my little island here. I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. I just don't think now is the time to do it. Now, am I okay with playing Ilya Solovyov ahead of Tyson Barrie because we know what he is and where he's at in his career? Absolutely. And who knows what's going to happen with him. Maybe this is even a conversation we'll be having 24 hours from now. Am I okay with them playing Ilya Solovyov ahead of Daniil Miramanov? Truth be told, guys, I don't know what he is. I've been trying to figure that out for 2 years. I thought I had an idea at the end of last season. I definitely don't know who he is this season, but he hasn't played consistently well. So yeah, I'm okay with playing Solovyov ahead of Miramanov, but I'm not okay with playing him ahead of Joel Hanley right now, just because I know what Joel Hanley is, and I don't know what Ilya Solovyov is at the NHL level. What I'd like to find out, sure, the Flames fall out of the playoff race, or if at practices, or if he gets an opportunity to play in some more games, Ryan Huska and the coaching staff thinks that they've seen enough from Solovyov to really believe that he's an upgrade on Hanley, then, hey, I'm all for that as well. But I don't know. I think Joel Hanley, because he's been so good at just blending in and being an easy guy to play with, regardless of who he's played with, that he's been on all three pairings, I think there's something to be said for that for a Flames team that, you know, coming out of the break is going to be 3 points out of a playoff spot that is going into a gauntlet after a home game against the Sharks, which they can't overlook because they have to have those 2 points. You know, you've got a really tough 6-game road trip coming up. And, you know, maybe in a back-to-back, that's a good place to play Soloviov, to get some fresh legs in there. But, you know, for me, guys, a 1-game sample size in the final game going into a break where Soloviov was probably a heck of a lot fresher than the other 5 defensemen the Flames had on the ice, because for them, that was game number 21 in a span of 42 days with a ton of travel and a lot of late nights. I just can't base what I'm going to do when every point is so important on a 1-game sample size. So, yeah, I liked what I saw from Soloviov in that 1 game. But for me, Hanley's still going to stay in my top 6 for now.
I just think, you know, and again, it's no disrespect to Joel Hanley, but we're not taking Al MacInnis out of the lineup for Ilya Soloviov. And I just think if the 24-year-old can do exactly what the 33-year-old is doing with the phase you're at as an organization, it sort of behooves you to go with the young guy. And again, that's probably unfair to Joel Hanley, who, as all of us have said, has been very reliable in a, you know, in a challenging role. I don't know whether I'm playing. I don't know who I'm playing with, all that. It's not easy for Joel Hanley. I think the unfair part of pro sports is that if a guy 9 years younger and a guy whose contract becomes a one-way next year can do the same job that the waiver claim who's about to become a UFA can do, it sort of behooves you to make that move.
But can we jump to that conclusion, Wes? I mean, he's played 1 game.
Right, but why not find out? Like, why not find out if the 1 game, at least the way I look at it, if you like the way the 1 game looked, then let's see it in a 2nd game. I'm not saying to put Joel Hanley, you know, Sunday afternoon on a hot air balloon and see where he lands.
Yeah.
I think for 2 reasons. One, I like going with the younger option. And two, if he potentially makes Joel Hanley expendable, then you can recoup an asset. Like, I think now, yeah, you're right. That's a slobber knocker of a road trip. And, you know, it really has make or break ramifications. I just don't think you're going to reach a point where you look back and say, geez, we really should have gone with Joel Hanley for those 6 games. And that changed our season. I think this can be close to a saw-off, and in that case, and Willsey, I totally respect why you don't see it the same way, but in that case, I'm going with the younger guy.
The one thing I would say is that, you know, for better or for worse, like, you're right, we don't know what Soloviov is, but I'm loving the word behoove, so I'll use it as well. I think it behooves them to see what he is, even in this situation, because I don't think it's going to be the difference between making the playoffs or not making the playoffs if for a few games you give Soloviov a little bit of a run over Hanley, because we know what Joel Hanley is, and that kind of works against him in a scenario like this. But as I said, like, you need to cultivate depth too. And if all of a sudden you can find a situation where Hanley and Soloviov are now kind of in a 6-7 conversation as opposed to what they have been before, where you're not really feeling comfortable playing anybody outside of 5 or 6 guys in the lineup, I think that can be a step forward for you. So the Flames know what Joel Hanley is. They know how he'll react if he has to sit a few games, and then they can make a little bit more of an educated decision rather on what they're going to do with a guy like Soloviov. And I do think it serves them well to give him a little bit and see if you can get him into a few more games. And if for the time being that has to be at the expense of a guy like Hanley, I think that's okay. And then if it doesn't work, then you know what you've got with Hanley. But at no point do I think it's going to be like, we're not talking about a guy that is going to jump in and be so completely out of place that he single-handedly loses games for the Flames, nor are we talking about Hanley being a guy that is going to be so good that single-handedly wins games for the team. So I know it's crunch time. I know every point matters. I know how important trying to track down Vancouver is inside that locker room. but I think that you can kind of serve two masters by giving Soloviev a little bit of a run here, because I think that the Flames believe he can really help the team. And here's the other thing. If he can be a help for them on the penalty kill, that's something that Hanley doesn't do as well as Soloviev could, and that could be a real nice step for him too. So it's fascinating to see how this blue line situation plays itself out here over the next 24, 48, 72 hours, guys.
Yeah, it sure is. And I mean, you guys do make a convincing argument. And I think what's most important right now is not what's going to happen next season. Hey, if the Flames were out of the playoff race, absolutely, then that has to be your focus. But I think that the Flames as an organization owe it to the players inside of that dressing room who have battled so hard this season to put themselves in this spot to ice the best possible lineup that gives them the best chance to win. And if Ryan Huska thinks that's with Ilya Soloviev ahead of Joel Hanley, hey, I'm all for that. But if he thinks it's right now Joel Hanley ahead of Ilya Soloviev, then I'm for that as well. So, and maybe we don't know the answer to that question. Maybe the Flames coaches don't even know the answer to that question because we're working with such a small sample size with Soloviev. I definitely think there's something there. And if he earns an opportunity to play in the top four or the top six and they mix up the pairings, then great. I just think that you have.
And I think we lost Wilsey there, which is a good time. We'll do a quick reset.
Would you say we sort of half behooved him to change his mind there? We were wearing him down. We were wearing him down.
No, I don't think we were.
Beat me up.
Wilsey's back.
I feel like Rocky Balboa after that first fight with Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
In the hospital. I lost. I got bruises and bumps and blood everywhere. Holy smokes. Thanks, guys.
But you know what? You're a warrior. That's why we appreciate you. Derek Wills with us. Daily Flames Roundtable on this Wednesday. Wes and Pat as well. Gents, now 2 days back with Connor Zary on the ice for the Flames at practice. In both those practice sessions, he's been skating on a left side of a line with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. When you take a look at that top nine forward group with Frost, Farabee, and now Zary back on it, just in terms of options and in terms of the way things look, how much better do things look with Zary back and healthy and in the fold?
A lot. And can I just say, guys, having watched him practice for 2 days with the team, he looks freaking fantastic. It looks like Connor Zary just kind of picked up where he left off. And he's a guy who's had to do rehab and had to work his way back, but he also looks really fresh. And a fresh Connor Zary could be a real weapon for the Flames down the stretch. And it is funny, you know, how much of a difference one guy can make as far as how you slot. Something we've been talking about for quite some time is the Flames need more from their fourth line. Could Martin Pospisil help give that fourth line an identity? Well, prior to Connor Zary coming back, they really had no choice but to, at least in most games, play Pospisil in their top nine. Well, now with Zary back and on the left side of a line with Backlund and Coleman, you can slide Pospisil onto the right side of your fourth line and try to get some better minutes from that group. So I think it's absolutely huge. As we know, the Flames are a team that has struggled to score in a lot of games this season. I thought prior to his injury, that freak collision in that game against the Ducks, that Zary was as dynamic an offensive player as the Flames had this season and was continuing the trend in the right direction as far as his development and his production. And you know, I think he can give that veteran combination of Backlund and Coleman a real shot in the arm at 5-on-5. And then you see a new-look second or third line, depending on how you number them, with Frost centering Farabee and Sharangovich. And then I like what I saw, small sample size with that Kadri-Huberto-Coronado connection. And then also, you wonder how much maybe Zary can help the Flames on their second power play. For me, there are two power play units, and you've got a PP1 and a PP2 now. But today they had him out there with Coleman, Farabee, and Sharangovich up front, and Miramanov filling in for Anderson on the back end. So I think Zary can help the Flames in a number of different ways, and I just think they slot a lot better, lines 1 through 4 with them in.
Unlike the Joel Hanley, Ilya Soloviev debate, I can't disagree with Wilsey on this one. I
you want to, though.
No. We've kissed and made up, Wilsey. I
saw it. It was Very, very, very tender.
I just think in addition to liking sort of the current lineup that the return of Connor Zary gives you, I think you have a lot more options. You know, one of the things I said yesterday is when someone wasn't necessarily going in your top nine, you didn't have someone on your fourth line that you could immediately kind of promote, especially with Jacob Pelche traded away. There wasn't an obvious guy that you could boost up the lineup. Well, Martin Pospisil becomes that. There weren't a lot of sort of obvious shuffles you could make mid-game if you didn't feel like the group was going. And I think Connor Zary, like you said, Wilsey, it's amazing the difference one guy can make in terms of how it sort of lays out your lineup. And I just think you have so many more options, whether it's start a game, mid-game. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, for the first time, I don't know, probably all season, but definitely since the injury to Anthony Mantha, the number one thing that has become apparent with Zary back is for the first time, whether it be in-game adjustments like Wes is talking about, but now you're not talking about a deficit, right? Like, was Andre Kuzmenko a clear top nine forward on this team? Sometimes yes, absolutely, and sometimes absolutely not. And the same with Jacob Pelche. Was Jacob Pelche a true top nine guy every single night? He was trending that way, and I did like the way things were moving in that direction. But now you've got 10 guys that you can credibly say can be in this team's top nine. And right now, Pospisil would be 10, but we've seen him perform in a top nine well before. So you've got now a little bit more in terms of options if you start to really run into situations where you're like, hey, we need to juggle, whether it's game to game or in game. It's just it does feel like there are actual options and not just, you know, shuffling deck chairs. That's kind of more what it feels like now with the trade and with Zary being back healthy.
Yeah, and the other factors, multiple, is that you've got two guys who came in at a trade from the Flyers who have now been able to settle in. So it's really like you've added three top nine forwards, right? You've added Zary, and then you've added Frost and Farabee. So the Flames are a much different looking team, and something that Ryan Husk has talked about over the last couple of days is that, you know, Farabee and Frost didn't even have a practice with the team prior to this week. It was, parachute in from Philadelphia and try to settle in Calgary, which when I talked to the guys yesterday, they finally had a chance to do during that Four Nations break. So pretty exciting. The Flames 3 points out of a playoff spot. I'd feel better if they were in one than out of one, but still very much in the fight. And looking forward to seeing a new look Flames team on Sunday night with Zary in the top nine and with Ball on that first pairing or second pairing.
And we'll see if there's any news on Thursday when it comes to this Flames blue line. And lots to talk about, I'm sure, with a couple more roundtables before the end of the week. Thank you, Wilsey. We'll do it again, all over again, on Thursday.
All right. President of the Joel Hanley Fan Club signing off.
Thanks, Wilsey. He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Azam Alinanji and Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.